Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth for thee. And he casted away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let us pray. Our Father, thou art gracious and merciful and faithful and long-suffering unto thy people, and for this we give thee praise. With this poor blind man thou wast patient and long-suffering, and so thou hast been with the speaker, and we praise thee and thank thee for it. Lord, we lift up our heart to thee today, praying that thou wilt work effectually in our hearts. Lead us by thy Spirit. Write thy law upon our hearts and in our minds, and that we will follow thee fully in the way, counting the cost of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give thee praise and glory. For thou art the God of the Bible, the God of salvation, the God of redemption, and we praise thee that thou hast given unto us this great gospel to preach and to glorify thy holy name. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We appreciate every letter. We appreciate hearing from you and knowing of God's dealings in your heart. Write us if we can help you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Did you write for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled The Seven Sayings of the Savior on the Cross by author W. Pink? It is a book that will greatly encourage your heart and life as you are made to look away to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see the things that He suffered and then to read of His word of forgiveness, of His word of salvation, His word of affection, His word of anguish, His word of suffering, His word of victory, and His word of contentment in the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. This book by author W. Pink is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. It's our book of the month. Write for it by name, The Seven Sayings of the Savior on the Cross. We'd be happy to mail it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. It is good to be with you again today and continue our present series of messages on our general theme, God's sovereignty in salvation. To me, dear friend, there is no greater teaching of God's word that comforts the heart, quiets the soul, and gives God the glory for all things than the truth that God is on the throne, ruling all things after the counsel of His own will, according to Ephesians 1:11. In the midst of our present-day darkness in religion, in the church, in the home, in every strata of society, in our government and among the nations, God's children can rest with perfect peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that God is on the throne, and all is well because our Heavenly Father is in control of all things. Though the world is panic-stricken for fear of what is coming upon the earth, the word to the believer, the true child of God, is fear not. And you ask why? Because all things are subject to God's immediate control. All things are moving in accordance with His eternal purpose. And therefore, all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, according to Romans 8:28. And my dear friend, it must be so because Romans 11:36 tells us, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. If we look at the sad darkness of our day and try and work back to God, then everything will seem to show that God has no connection with the world at all. But, dear friend, begin with God and work down to the world, and much light is cast on the problem. Why? Because God is holy, because God is holy. His anger burns against sin. Because God is righteous, His judgments fall upon those who rebel against Him. Because God is faithful, the solemn threatenings of His word are fulfilled. Because God is omnipotent, none can successfully resist Him, still less overthrow His counsel. And because God is omniscient, no problem can master Him, and no difficulty baffle His wisdom. It is because God is who He is, and what He is, that we are now beholding on earth what we do. It is because God is holy, because God is righteous, because God is faithful, because God is powerful, and because God is all-wise. Then we are seeing what we are seeing upon the earth today, and it's all in the hands of our sovereign God. But, dear friend, your heart and mind can only rest upon and enjoy this blessed truth of the sovereignty of God over all His operations as faith is an exercise. Faith is ever occupied with God. You see, faith endures as seeing Him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. It endures the disappointments, the hardships, and the heartaches of life by recognizing that all comes from the hand of Him who is too wise to err and too loving to be unkind. Yes, when we are occupied with the God of the Bible as He is revealed to our hearts from His holy word in Christ, then we will receive all that enter in our lives from His hand. Then no matter what may be our circumstances or surroundings, we shall be able to say like the psalmist, "The lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places." And dear friend, for this I praise my living God. I want you to listen now as we go into our subject for today in this continued series on the sovereignty of God in salvation. And our subject for today is God's elective grace in salvation. I want you to listen. I'm going to give you not what I say or think about the doctrine of election, but what God's Word says about it. So let us listen together. When we look at this precious truth of God's elective grace in God's Word, we read it loud and clear that election is a choice and is based on a person's capacity to make a choice and his right to choose. Therefore, according to the Word of God, God's election is founded upon His sovereignty, which is His prerogative right to choose or not to choose as He pleases. That He chooses one and leaves another is His prerogative right, for He is God, and this is what God's Word teaches. You see, that all men deserve hell for their sin of unbelief and rebellion against God is everywhere taught on the pages of Holy Writ. That no man deserves to be saved is also everywhere taught in God's Word. So if God chooses some to salvation and passes by others and let them go to the hell that they deserve, He does no man an injustice, because all deserve hell. Yet on the other hand, if God had not chosen some to salvation, then no one would have ever been saved, because all men are dead spiritually and would not and could not have come to Christ for salvation without God's effectual call of grace by His Holy Spirit to their dead heart, their dead mind, and their dead conscience. You're listening. On the other hand, if God had provided salvation for all men without exception and left it to their free will to be saved, still none would have been saved, because man, by nature, hates God and will not come to Christ without the irresistible power of God's Holy Spirit. Also, if, as we are told today, that God has provided salvation for all men, and that God has done all that He can do, and now it is up to the sinner to act, then, dear friend, the Father would be disappointed, because He would completely fail in His attempt to save mankind, because mankind is not going to come. And Christ would have died in vain. But thank God He did not leave His plan and His purpose of redeeming fallen men in the hands of men or to the will of depraved mankind. No, God's Word teaches otherwise. God, in His infinite wisdom and grace, before the foundation of the world, before He ever created man, before He ever spoke a world into existence, before He ever created an angelic being, when there was nothing but space, God, knowing that after He created man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, that man would fall, foreknew and elected or selected or chose a number that no man could number out of all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. And He wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to Ephesians 1:4 and Revelation 13:8. Then God, in this book of predestination, ordered and ordained the means of bringing them to Christ. For the Scripture says in Acts 13:48, "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Are you listening? Election means to choose. It is the act of God choosing a person for salvation, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Listen to God's word. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It is the selection by the divine will of certain individuals for eternal salvation while leaving the others. It signifies to pick out from among. It is God's choice of some individuals from among the human race, which is already His own by creation, for this special favor of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick up your ears and listen now. I want you to remember that according to Psalms 25:8, God is good to all His creatures. According to Zephaniah 3:5, He is just to all His creatures. According to Matthew 5:43 to 45, He is merciful to all His creatures. And according to Romans 2:2 and 11, He deals impartially with all His creatures. When He chooses to bestow special favor upon some, He exercises His sovereign right of choice. And dear friend, if all men hate Him and spurn His love, is God unrighteous to leave them to their just punishment? The answer, according to Romans 2, verses 3 through 8, is no. If when all men are His enemies, He chooses certain ones and determines to take away their natural resistance and bring them to submission to His grace, is God unrighteous then to save certain ones and leave the rest in their own way? The biblical answer is no. For if God had not in His sovereign grace did this, then no man would ever be saved. Let us now turn to the Word of God itself and hear God Himself telling us that He is the God of election. Let me repeat something I have said before. This is not my teaching. This is not my doctrine, but the teaching of God Himself. And I have found that it is not what I say about God's election that men hate, but what God Himself says. And so when you come to the Word of God and you do not bow to the authority of God's Word, that in His own sovereignty He has the right to do with His creatures as He pleases, and you're rebelling against His Word, not mine. You see, the only reason that I believe the doctrine of election is because it's found in God's Word. If it was not found there, I would not believe it. Because it is a hard doctrine, isn't it? It's a hard saying. You know why? Because it's contrary to our nature. We don't love to be told that we're in the hands of a sovereign God. We don't love to be told that we're such dead creatures that left to our own free will, we would go to hell. Watch ye, listen. Take your concordance, dear friend, this next week, and look up the words choose, chosen, elect, election, calling, appointed, ordained, predestinated, or predestination. And you will be literally amazed as to how many times these words are used to show forth this precious biblical truth of God's sovereignty in salvation. In reference to the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament we read in Deuteronomy 7:6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, out of all people that are upon the face of the earth." Again in Psalms 33:12 we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance." And why did God choose this one nation, Israel, from among all the nations of the earth to reveal Himself unto and leave the other nations in darkness? The answer is found in Deuteronomy 7:7 through 8. Listen, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Yes? God's choice of a nation or an individual is found only in Himself, His will, and his counsel. This same blessed truth is brought out in the New Testament in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. In these words spoken to the Ephesian Christians and also to us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now watch verse 5, and you will hear the same thing God told Israel, that it was in love that he predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To me, dear friend, nothing could be plainer than this, that God in love, according to his own good pleasure and grace, graced us in the Beloved because he loved us. Also in John 15, 16, we read the same truth. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Yes, God chooses, and then we are made willing in the day of his power. Again in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29, we read of those whom God chose. Listen to God's word. Not my word, but God's word. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We see here then that the biblical teaching of God's sovereignty and salvation is a humbling truth, because it leaves man at the feet of a sovereign God who elects us, calls us, and saves us, not because of who we are and what we have done, but because we are hell-deserving sinners, but only as it has pleased him to elect us, call us, and save us by his marvelous electing grace. Dear friend, that God has an elect people is clearly set forth in Romans 8:33 in these words. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yes, all saved souls are God's elect. He knew them and loved them in eternity, as set forth in 2 Timothy 1:9. Listen to God's word. God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Again, to show that this election was based upon God's will and God's choice, and not the will of man, is set forth in Ephesians 2:89, where we read that grace and faith is God's gift. And as Titus 1:1 tells us, the faith which we believe with is the faith of God's elect. You see, the majority of Christendom today do not believe in the biblical teaching of God's sovereignty and salvation or his elective grace, because it cuts across this so-called free will, and they will not allow themselves to believe that God acts as he pleases and not according to the will of his creatures. Then the majority of those who believe that God's word does teach election try to explain it away by saying that God foreknew those who would believe. Therefore, he elected them to salvation. But, dear friend, if this was true, then God would simply endorse man's will, thus making man's will sovereign. But this theory dissolves completely under the light of John 16:8. For our Lord, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said that when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. I ask, how could God choose a man whom he foreknew would believe when man is an unbeliever by nature and has to have the Holy Spirit give him faith if ever he believes? No, God chooses a certain sinner to salvation out of free grace, found only in his own heart. Then he sends the Holy Spirit to convict that man of sin and give him the faith of God's elect, that he might look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Again, that God's people are elected according to the foreknowledge of God is scriptural according to 1 Peter 1:2. But this electing was not because of any work of believing that we could do, but because God loved us in Christ. Again, Romans 11:5 tells us that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God's election known only to himself, and it is all of grace and nothing in the Senate. But the capstone of all scripture on the doctrine of election is found in Acts 13:48, where we read, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." So we see that God's elect believed to the saving of their souls because they were ordained, and not that they were ordained because they would believe in time. So then God's election is God's choice of a sinner to salvation, as set forth in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you have listened, and God's word has gone home to your heart by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and that you would write for a copy of this message so that you can read it there in the quiet of your own home and prayerfully call upon the name of the Lord and let him tell you whether we have spoken the truth today or not. Remember, our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.